Welcome to the Weekly Leadership Experience, a place for leaders to get inspired, be challenged, and grow. I am your host, Rashad Oberlander. Let's get started. Today's episode of the Weekly Leadership Experience is brought to you by my 7-day Leadership Growth Challenge. It's a free challenge that I've created, and it's delivered by email over the course of 7 days. I've created 7 compelling questions to challenge various aspects of your leadership, the way you lead, and why you lead. Go to rashadoberlander.com and scroll down until you find the 7-day leadership challenge, or look for the link in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Hello, leaders, and welcome to this week's show. If this is your first time joining me, welcome. It's good to have you. And if you've been following along on this podcast for a while, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. This week is going to be another question and answer period as I take listener questions that have been sent in on various areas of leadership. I'll be drawing on my more than 15 years of leadership and management experience to answer those questions and hopefully give you some really different perspectives and insights and maybe a little bit of a breakthrough in some of these areas. So if you have a question on life, leadership, or just something that's been on your mind that I can speak to or answer a question for you, you can send that question into podcast@weeklyleadershipexperience.com. And now let's get on with the first question. First question today is from Daniel in Queensland, Australia. Actually, it's a few questions, but I'm going to bundle them together because they're kind of come back to the same point that I want to speak to. So here's the questions. What are some tips on improving your team's productivity? What are some tips to improve team morale? And besides cash bonuses, what are some good ways to incentivize your team? So I'm going to bounce around on this one a little bit because there's a few questions, but like I said, I'm going to bundle them together because it really comes back to one thing, in my opinion. And that one thing is to know your team. You really need to know your team in order to be able to answer these questions for yourself the most effectively. So that would be my one thing that you really need to know about all these things, whether it's productivity, improving morale, or incentivizing your team, is knowing them. So let's dive into some ideas and some thoughts that I have based on my experiences that have worked for me over the years and in different teams. So talking a bit about let's talk about morale, for example. Morale is, you know, kind of the spirit of the team. How's the team feeling? Are they down? Are they low? Are they high? Are they excited? Are they energetic, enthusiastic? Is it, you know, that kind of a team? What kind of a team is it? What kind of a morale do you want to have? And a lot of times morale can be improved simply by being engaged and present with your team, being an ear to listen, being someone that they can speak to, that they can raise their concerns to. You got to ask yourself, why is morale down? Why are people feeling low and unenthusiastic? And just being there for them and being able to have empathy and kindness towards that and be able to, you know, listen and be there for them. Things that you can do to improve morale besides that, you can have, you know, team outings, you can have team building events, you can have, little games and little fun things that you engage in through the day or through the week or month or what have you, and ways that you can do that. Productivity and stuff like that kind of follows with how the general morale is. Like, you know, you can be productive to a point, but if you want sustained productivity, you know, you're going to want to have a team that's pretty engaged. And if they're engaged, they're more likely to be somewhat more productive, the way I see it. And some other things are games and stuff like that. Like, again, knowing your team and knowing what they're going to respond well to and what they're going to value and appreciate is important. But like games that I had that I did with some of my teams over the years, just little things. And this is kind of more for a sales team. So, you know, different teams are going to need different types of, morale or what have you. But you know, you can play a game where they get a prize at the end, or it can just be for bragging rights, or it can be for, you know, other kinds of prizes that you can kind of come up with. But you can basically come up with a game, roll the game out to the team. It needs to be pretty simple. In my experience, the more complex the game, the harder it is to follow, and the less people can get excited about it. If they can play a game, or they can kind of have a bit of a challenge or a competition that gives them a quick satisfaction or a quick little head, or they can see progress on the challenge quickly, then they're going to be more likely to get engaged and get excited about it. One of the most successful games I had when I was running a sales team was kind of like a bingo card, and it was based on selling certain items or certain add-ons, or, you know, a warranty program, or, you know, a financing plan or something like that, where people could, like, they could understand what it was that they had to do. It was easy to get. Or it wasn't that it was easy to get, but some of the things to sell were kind of harder, like, you know, sell this high value item. But they understood what it was, and they knew kind of the steps that they had to take to get there. So they filled out this bingo card. So they would, you know, sell a warranty, and they could color in that little square. And then they could sell something else, and they could color in another square. And they could kind of, you know, be strategic about it. They could either go for the whole bingo card and try and get every single challenge on there, and have, there was a prize accordingly. And, you know, important to note, too, that anyone could win a prize. It wasn't like only one person was going to win a prize. It was a game designed to be available to the entire team. You know, the full bingo card was like a one-off prize because it was fairly substantial. But, you know, the other ones, everyone had the opportunity of winning something. So they could, you know, go for a straight line, a horizontal line, a vertical line, a diagonal line. They could go for the, you know, the perimeter. They could fill in the perimeter, or they could fill in the whole thing. And they could kind of attack it strategically. And the team that I had really took to that game really well. And it was one of the most successful ones. And in fact, it was so successful and did so well that I, you know, redid versions of that game on several different occasions. And so that is, you know, an example of finding something that works for that team, for my team, or for your team, and, you know, understanding what makes your group tick, right? And understanding that not everyone is going to be the same either. Some people are more competitive by nature and some people aren't. So really coming back to a lot of what we're talking about here in terms of improving your productivity, improving the team morale, and incentivizing your team is knowing what's important to them, knowing what they're going to value and appreciate. Speaking specifically to incentivizing your team, you know, cash bonuses obviously are great. Again, knowing what your team is all about, but there are things that you can offer, you know, and you got to work within what is available to you through your company, what there's allowances for in the budget and things like that. You know, but offering someone a paid day off as an incentive. You can offer someone, you know, time with a mentor or coach, someone that they want to spend time with to learn more about the business. You can offer them recognition. You can offer them, you know, some added responsibility. A lot of things that don't necessarily cost the company money can be used as an incentive and motivator for different people. But it is important to know what people are going to be motivated the most by, because someone might just want the recognition, but they don't want the added responsibility. Someone might want the day off that they can take, that they can spend time with their family, but they wouldn't want, you know, a monetary gain or a gift card or a, you know, even a free lunch like that. That doesn't necessarily motivate or incentivize them the same way as it would someone else. So at the end of the day, it all comes back to really knowing your team and knowing what's going to work or not work for those people. So that is what I have to say about that. Now, let's look at the next question coming from Candace in Orlando. This is a big question. How do you define leadership and management? Do you think there is a difference, or can one person be both a manager and a leader? Is there a need for both? Well, I come back to the quote, "You manage things, you lead people." And that is a quote from Grace Murray Hopper. And to me, that kind of sums up what I'll say about this question in a larger sense. But at the end of the day, I think that that is a very good summary of what the definition of leadership and management is. Management is focused on things and leadership is focused on people. The way I would define leadership in a bit of a bigger sense is one person influencing another for their improvement, that they become not just a better employee, but a better person. Defining management is about, you know, working with things and processes and, you know, systems to achieve an outcome. But it's a very kind of linear process in my mind. I think there is a difference, but I do think that one person can be both a manager and a leader. I think that it is a bit of a two-hat situation where you're going to put on one hat to be a manager and you're going to put on another hat to be a leader. And it is very much about what is being called for in that moment, and what is sort of the task at hand, what is the goal, and what is the desired outcome. If it's something that we're talking about where it's going to involve, you know, some things, like those things could be pieces of equipment, machinery, technology, those kind of things. It could be, you know, a process or a system that is in place that needs to be followed or what have you. And if this system is broken and it needs to be fixed, like those are things that I think that managing entails, is putting on the hat that requires some problem solving in relation to dealing with those non-sentient things, where you're trying to work within a fixed set of inputs. When it comes to leadership and you're putting on that leadership hat, it's a lot more of the, you know, quote unquote soft skills, where you're working with culture or, you know, mission, vision, and values, or you're working with motivation and, you know, the kind of some of the earlier question details in terms of morale and how do you incentivize and kind of some of those things, where it becomes a little bit more about, you know, what are you doing with these people? So I do think that one person can be both. I think that there is a need for both. But I think that, you know, to me at least, it's a fairly well-defined barrier, I guess, between the two, in that if you're going to manage, it is kind of more towards those quote-unquote things, right? Where they're objects, they kind of enable the business to be in business, they enable the people in the business to do their job, and those kind of things. But when you're talking about being a leader and, you know, those kind of skills and behaviors and attitudes and things are very much focused towards people. Now, I think that this is there is an important difference between the two, but I think that those two also do come together. And when those two come together, you know, you sort of end up with a bit of a hybrid situation. But I think that that's, you know, not the norm as much as it is, you know, an opportunity for a blend from time to time. So I think that it can be beneficial either to be able to kind of hybridize your approach when it's required and to be both the manager and the leader at the same time, or probably in a better scenario would be to be that, you know, you have yourself as either the leader or the manager at that moment, and someone who's going to complement you in the opposite need for that particular task at hand or objective or whatever's going on. So those are my thoughts on that. I think that it's a really great question and sort of is, you know, at the crux of the leader versus manager argument that has been present for decades. But at the end of the day, I do think that it comes down to the quote that I mentioned earlier, that it is about managing things and leading people. So thank you for tuning in today. Pleasure speaking with you. I'd love to know what you thought about this episode or what you maybe took away from it. Send me your comments or questions or just feedback either at podcast@weeklyleadershipexperience.com, or you can tag me on social media wherever I am present at RE Oberlander on all the major platforms. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Hit me up with your comments. Share this episode with a friend. Tag me in it so I can comment and interact with you. I look forward to speaking with you next week. In the meantime, stay awesome. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, would you head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, leave me a rating, leave me a review, and share this with a friend. It spreads the word and helps the podcast grow. You can also find me on social media at RE Oberlander. Until next time, stay awesome.